The Word of God's the only real thing there is. It's all the reality. Praise His name. But let's get back in here to 2 Timothy, and we're in that glorious finishing fourth chapter of Paul's letters to Timothy. And I do encourage you to rest assured that this final masterpiece, and what I mean here is this fourth chapter, praise God, it will take more than a week, if the Lord tarry, to even get a glimpse of the precious glory that is in this last chapter. But I was thinking back and just rejoicing with the Lord and thanking God He fellowships with us like that. And you know what I'm talking about. But how glorious it is how God has seen fit to minister to us by His Spirit through Paul's gospel to us, the Timothys of this age. I thank God for that. I am grateful that it's not something we're seeing afar off. As we sang, it's mine. This is to me. I thank God that He has given me an ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And brothers and sisters, this is to us. Know this. You may come here tonight and you may not feel like it, but it's by faith. It's by faith. And I'm grateful to God that His Word is true. And I'm thankful to God that He is so pinpointed and so intimate and so perfect and in His message. And He doesn't just throw it around. You're here for purpose tonight. God's called you. He's chosen you. And we're here from every kindred, tongue, and nation. Every walk of life. Isn't that awesome? And the oneness, all because of Jesus. Not because of anything we did. The unity of the Spirit. The bond of perfectness. Compacted, tightly fit. This is us in Christ. Hallelujah. And I thank God for you. I thank God for your faith that His love brought to you and brings to you, that you run and you run well, that it encourages me. And I thank the Lord that Christ in you is the hope of glory, that it's not just that, but you know it. Hallelujah. But we thank God that He's called us to this. And I have to tell you, I feel a little bit giddy as I read this and I hear His voice to me. It's as if He's handed us the baton. Praise God, run on. Run well. Don't be hindered. Don't look over here and there. We don't run as them that beat the air. We run with purpose. Praise God. To finish, and not just finish, but to win Him. And to finish with a full joy. Praise be to God. But what a joy unspeakable and encouragement to our hearts, brothers and sisters. I, again, thinking of the perfect timing of God and how the message that He even gave us on Sunday of Apollos, just as Timothy, just as by the grace of God, us in Christ, Paul planted, Apollos, the Timothys, us in Christ, by His grace, water, and He gives the increase. Hear this to you. Know this. Rejoice. This isn't just a happy thought. This, again, is your reality. This is our purpose in Christ. By grace, brothers and sisters, allow the Lord to draw us. Isn't that wonderful, to allow to be drawn? Let Him draw us. In full assurance of faith, believing, see, that God not only wants this for our lives, brothers and sisters, but He has made every provision and given us the very power of His might to apprehend His best in its fullness. Praise be to God. That's for us. The only thing that will stop us from it is you and me. Isn't that wonderful? A place can't stop us. Physical chains couldn't stop us. People's discouraging words can't stop us. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hallelujah. But how sweet this all begins here in the fourth chapter. We're going to see the first two words, I charge. And I love that. And if you've been counting up the charges in the letters to Timothy, you'll find out this is the eighth one. And there's eight of them. And there's no doubt in the meaning of the number eight, the bridal number. God, again, so divinely beyond perfect in everything. You talk about the line upon line and line upon line about assuring us that even if you doubted for a moment, here's a little more, honey. Here's a little bit more of my beauty and my greatness. Here's my love to you. And I just thrill again how he does it. But I thank God, again, he uses this precious expression of I charge. It means I earnestly testify, I confirm. It's a solemn oath. And you'll notice here it says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about sufficient witness. What sufficient witness? Praise God, before God and our Lord Jesus Christ. How glorious, brothers and sisters. And I'm thankful to the Lord, too, that in Scripture, when you see the Father and the Son, you'll always have the encouragement, too, of the Holy Ghost there. See, Paul could never say, by God's grace, I charge, without the encouragement of the Holy Ghost. That revelation of the deep love of God to commend in this situation, in that prison, ready to die, but increasing at an increasing rate to the glorious state that he's going to profess here in just a moment, that I am ready to be offered. Let me tell you something. That had to be an unction like you can't imagine, that only God could bring, and only he could bring through the one who takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in our heart. Doing that tonight. But praise God for that Godhead. Praise God for the power of his might that brought this love and knowledge to Paul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending the servant to preach to me at that well. Hallelujah. But you notice very quickly in this verse, as he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, how it so it's a powerful thing that he says here next. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom? Again, that all-powerful one, that praise be to God. He hasn't taken the throne as God yet, but it's coming. And thank you, Jesus, that God the Father has put in everything in his Son. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that precious to know that we're in the perfect will of God when we magnify his Son alone? Nothing else but to magnify his Son. I know, praise God, that wonderful Godhead. And hallelujah, the working of each one, that three in one, that perfect unity, that perfect harmony. But the plan of God and of the Godhead is for man, by God's grace, to magnify the Son. Hallelujah. This is wonderful. I'm thankful that it is in Jesus' name. I'm thankful to God that there is no other name. I'm thankful to God that it is that Holy Ghost that takes the things of Jesus Christ and he makes them mine. He shows them unto me. And as the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Thank you, God, for this. See, yes, the simplicity in the gospel of Christ, but what rejoicing, what beauty in the simplicity. Father, there's nothing that pleases you except to praise and magnify, honor, give glory and thanks alone to your Son. Praise his name. But in this last part where he says, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom? It's wonderful that Paul is bringing to Timothy immediately at this ending the urgency There's an urgency here. And the urgency that he brings him to is, Timothy, not only you be ready now, but preach to be ready now. Not some far off time. Redeem the time, son. Don't preach the frilly words, the flowery speeches. Preach the word. And preach all of it. And by God's grace, in the demonstration and the power of the Holy Ghost. Now praise God for this, brothers and sisters. Brother Copley said it like this, preach today as if you're going to see Jesus tomorrow. I think he's even encouraging us, preach today that we're going to see Jesus tonight. And you know what? I believe that that encouragement is here. And praise God, it's alive. And I am thankful that we're not ashamed of it. And I'm thankful that we come together as the people of God and rejoice in the champion of our faith. We do. There's a cheerfulness and there is a cheering. Praise God for our Savior. But see, in this, he takes Timothy in spirit to the thought of the end of the age. See, isn't that just so wonderful? Again, to live right now, seated in the heavens in Christ. That praise be to God, I'm fighting the good fight of faith, abounding in the hope of praise God when I see Jesus. That's my day. That's your day. There's no other day. That's the day. The day of the Lord. The day of our Savior. King. But by the grace of God, bridegroom. Yes, lover, hallelujah, that's the day. But see, this is where precious Paul, in that love that's encouraged him to charge him, he brings him right to the appearing of our Lord and Savior, the moment, as the Word of God says, when time shall be no more. And you know what that time means. The time to get ready, the time to be the bride, shall be no more. Aren't we thankful that we preach this? Aren't we thankful that by God's grace, this is our message. Be ready. The wife hath made herself ready. Not that we've already apprehended, but I'm trusting God by grace to be ready. Always. Not asleep in the night, not drunken in the night, not And I do love how that encourages my heart. Not a virgin with a lamp with no oil. You know a lot of things, but without fervent love, there's no light. I want it pouring all over me. I want to be glowing, fiery ones. You talk about a lamp. You know what I'm talking about. On fire for him. But how marvelous, brothers and sisters, that he is charging Timothy. He's saying, brother, you preach it. You preach this without hesitation. You preach this without any reservation. You preach this and do not hold back a thing. Proclaim the whole counsel of God. As it said back there in 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy. And I love how it says, O Timothy, you can hear Paul's heart just break. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. I pray in spirit, we have that for one another. Keep that. He's committed it to you. Isn't that wonderful? Remember how we were talking about, my goodness, Lord, you've caused me to be a vault and you put the treasure in it. I'm valuable. What a vessel. Boy, to know who we are in Christ. God chose man. That's mighty. How he loved the world and so gave that only begotten Son. But see, brothers and sisters, by proclaiming the whole counsel of God, that's the only way the all-sufficient equipment for the man of God can be bestowed. As it says in chapter 3, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It takes the whole counsel of God and nothing less to be perfect. That means mature, complete, grown up into Him in all things, and thoroughly furnished the ability, praise God, the maturity, praise God, to lay hold the mark for the prize knowledge, to finish with the full joy. Praise God. Come on now. This is what this is unto all good works. I love how the Word of God is so clear. It told us in chapter 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Well, if all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, preach it. Amen? Why do you think we have Bible study? Why do we have Bible study and we study often? I should say, sometimes. There will be little sections and different things of that nature. But we study the books. We study the Paul's epistles. To know the Word of God and all of it. Not to be afraid. Praise His name. Some shy away from the Song of Solomon. My goodness. Should be chewing on that daily. Revelation. Oh my goodness. That should be snack time daily. Aren't we thankful? We're not afraid of it because we know it's the whole counsel of God, that it is the very will of God that we would grow up into this. Praise God, the Word, Him in all things. So, you preach all gospel and you only preach all gospel. And isn't it wonderful? It just so happens that the only gospel that is all Scripture or all gospel is Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel is the only gospel that is the whole counsel of God, brothers and sisters. That's the reason that in Galatians and many other times in the letters of Paul, he tells you, preach only my gospel. He wasn't bold in himself. He wasn't bragging in himself. He made it very clear. Oh, wretched man, and it's all the grace of God that is with me. It's just the grace of God. Hallelujah. A chosen vessel. God did it. This is His Word. Now believe it. It's the only gospel that is all gospel. And Paul's gospel is the only gospel that is rightfully divided. Paul's gospel rightfully divides the Word. Know it. I say that often to people. Well, I'm going to start in Genesis reading the Word of God. And I say, well, I'm thankful you're going to read the Word of God, but how about a little encouragement to start possibly even in Romans? John, understanding, praise God. But again, it's not about where you begin. It's by His Spirit. But brothers and sisters, how Paul's gospel opens up, yea, the deep things of God. But see what he's getting at here in preaching the Word and not withholding a thing. You see, if parts are withheld from us out of the Word of God, the perfection, the completion, the full maturity, the growing up into Him in all things, it can never be attained. You can have all of the potential, brothers and sisters, but if you don't have the knowledge and experience in it, it will never be. You can dream about it, you can think about it, but praise be to God, without a vision, the people perish. See, that's why when people ask me, and I've heard one say this, do you really have to know the bridal message to be in the bride? Yes, you do. You do. There are people that love the Lord. There are people that are very faithful, that thank God, that pray in Jesus' name and believe the Lord. But if they don't know, praise God, the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, without that vision, you'll never be it. You have to see it. It has to be enlightened, illuminated, brothers and sisters. The understanding of it. Thank God that He's given us the knowledge, and I'm talking about intimate knowledge, of joint heirs together as husband and wife. That doctrine. And when that becomes your doctrine and your message and your proposal, I'll tell you what, you'll be transformed and you'll grow up into it. You'll change from glory to glory. and you will, like him, into his image. And I thank the Lord that that's exactly what the whole counsel of God does. And it won't do anything else. If you'll receive the whole counsel of God, trust him, receive the grace to believe him, you'll be ruling and reigning jointly with Christ Jesus. Because that's the will of God. That's his divine will for you. And do not doubt that. There's nothing that you could add. There's nothing of yourself that you could bring. That life, that perfect life, the moment that you went from death to life everlasting, he came to live in you. And now the message is, let that life grow up. Praise God. How wonderful. See, the lily doesn't toil. It's got all of it there. It just grows. It receives the water. It receives the sun, the nutrients. Amen. And it just grows. And thank you, Jesus, how it blossoms. But when man and organization, religion, causes it to be sickly, tries to open it up, and what happens when you try to open a flower up? Ruin it. Get away from it. Little lumps of clay, let him do it. Hallelujah. So sweet how the Lord does this. But see, brothers and sisters, in 2 Peter 3:18, it's out there on the steps, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. Grow in that undeserved, unmerited favor and love. Highly favored time. Come on, honey, I want you to have this place. This is yours. Trust me for it. And you see there in verse 2, Paul is not shy. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Never forget it. Preach the word. Don't preach man's thoughts. Don't preach, that means your thoughts. Preach the word. Not current events. I don't need the funny papers either. Not political events, political thoughts. Not the whim of the day. Not global events. Preach the word. See, there's so many things that distract us. Just know it. You got ADD because it's just in you. Recognize it. You do. None comes after him. None seeks after him. You know what I'm saying? Hit your knees in spirit 24/7. Say, Lord, let me tend upon you without distraction. Captivate my thoughts. Make me quick, Lord God, to believe. Not slow to believe, quick. Quick to take correction and chastening, that when my thoughts start to drift, whether it's bitterness or anger or getting into this cause and letting it somehow bring an emotion that's causing me to drift from you, stop it. And I'm right there with you. And they can be good things. But is it going to be the good, acceptable, or how about the perfect will of God? Right? Amen? This is a mark. This is the doctrine for the mark. The bullseye. The very heart of God. I'm amongst people, by God's grace, we want to please him to the fullest, don't we? Don't you just love what he's done for you? Don't you just love the grace of God that you know that Jesus finished it? Don't you love that you're now a son of God? Don't you love that even when things are just completely haywire, that you can rest and know that, Lord, so soon I'm going to be face to face with you. Oh, that's the hope of this brother in spirit as he was being encouraged in this horrid, wretched, wicked time. And we think we got issues? He laid it on him. He said, oh, you think you suffered, huh? Well, you've caused me to boast. And the greatest of suffering I know that this brother said is when he said, all in Asia, they've left. When it came down to the end and it was, can somebody bring me a coat? Nah, I don't even remember the coat. Just bring me the word of God. Somebody be willing to have the boldness to bring me the word of God. Is anybody out there that's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? He wasn't pitying in himself. He was sad in spirit that there was such a falling away. And this is what we're talking about right now. This is a battle. A battle. A fight. We are fighting the good fight of faith, and it's hard. And he said, endure hardness as good soldiers. It is not joyous for the moment. I know these things too. But oh, that exceeding eternal weight of glory. Yeah. I want to see him smile. I want an embrace that says, well done, my good and faithful servant. His brother rejoiced on Sunday night about the feet. I want him to just be enamored with the grace of God that was bestowed upon my life. Praise the Lord. That's what's going to please him. We got to get back into this. Here we go. But you see, he says, preach the word. Not only be preaching it, but be instant in it. Be ready to give every man an answer for the hope that lies within you. As the Lord brings them in, preach it. Right? And he'll bring them. That's the thing about the Lord. He'll make that time of intercession. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Preach it. And as he goes on here, don't be hesitant to reprove. That means to admonish. That word there means when there is error, brothers and sisters, correct it. By God's grace, don't let the little foxes spoil the vine. By grace, protect against the leaven. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It is not joyous, necessarily. It is not one of the most appealing things to do, to correct error. You know what I'm saying, and especially when we love one another. But it's needful. God help us that in love, speaking truth in love, we grow up into him in all things. So important. So vitally important. When we are used of the Lord and encouraged of him to reprove, love. Don't be harsh. You be firm, but you love. And I thank God for that. That's what works effectually. It goes on to say exhort, and that means to encourage those that are in it, and never stop encouraging. Never stop encouraging in the much the more. Never stop encouraging and give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Amen? I want to escape. How about you? I don't want to neglect so great salvation. Hallelujah. See, we encourage people, brothers and sisters, and I appreciate how Brother Hill would say over and over, Carry a little honey. Carry a little honey. Don't be slow to compliment the grace of God. I'm not trying to butter you up. But boy, when I see the effectual working of the grace of God in your life, I want to encourage you in it. I want you to know how thankful and how much it supplies me. Amen? Aren't you thankful that we don't walk around here like a bunch of discouraged ones and everybody's frowning? You don't know how to hug? Hi. I thank God. When you love people, you can't help but hug them. You can't help but give them a kiss. It's the family of God. And this is what this is. This is the kindness. Again, this isn't flattery stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the true working of grace. When you see people take victories, tell them how much it means to you. Thanking God for it. When you see them by God's grace going through hardship, and especially ones of us who've made mistakes, been discouraged, and yet rise up. Isn't that wonderful? Them's the champions of faith. Sometimes it's easy when everything's going your way. In some respects, it can be to be singing and praising God. But when things turn and the Lord allows a new season, and then some of the hardship, my goodness, you brought on yourself, dummy. Did you just curl up in despair? Did you say, oh, I can't, I'm too embarrassed, I gotta leave. I love them champions. They're not proud in themselves. They just say, behold the Lamb. Amen? Them's the ones I want to be around. Because them's the ones that Jesus Christ, praise God, loved to be around. Hallelujah. Yep, that's what it is. It's the Lamb of God. But see, it says, cheer on the runners is what this means about this exhorting. And notice, it's encouraging with all long-suffering. Bear with people that want his best. Sometimes they get weary. Sometimes they do stagger. But if the Lord has encouraged that one to really want the truth and to go on. I'm not talking about wasting our time. I'm talking about truly fellowship in the gospel of Christ. In times we get discouraged, in times we do get weary, God help us, brothers and sisters, to be ones that will encourage and exhort with all long suffering. Not some long suffering, all long suffering. You talk about a good Samaritan. My goodness, this is so beyond. Bring him cold cups of water and don't tire. And then notice how he finishes it out here. He says, and doctrine, always doctrine. See, it's not in enticing words or fluffy words or flowery speech or psychology words or phrases or thoughts. It's always doctrine. It's the word of his grace. That's what's going to build you up. That's what's going to strengthen you. I don't want to make you happy for a moment. And then you go back and say, well, that was just a bunch of cotton candy and it's gone. The word of his grace is what builds you up. And let me tell you something. In the building that's not made with man hands, I'll tell you, that's a building. That's one that's a rock, praise his name. But brothers and sisters, pour it on. Praise God. Encourage one another that when we're going through things, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. Verses 3 and 4. For the time will come, and here we are, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And bottom line here, people, they it's really emphasizing here is the overwhelming majority anymore of God's precious people. They are reluctant, brothers and sisters, and I'm not ashamed and sheepish to preach this, and I let people know. And it's not because I'm anybody. It's just, praise God, it's the word of his grace. It's Paul's doctrine. It's the word. This is where we're at. Things are getting watered down so much that it's not there anymore. Know it. Brother Hill used to preach about it much. He said, you go that way, before too long, they'll just write Ichabod over the door and it's departed. It's gone. The glory of the Lord is gone. Without Jesus, there is no glory. But see, people are becoming reluctant. As Brother Copley says, maybe even downright afraid of the truth. And we're talking here even about ones that have become enlightened to the bridal truth. Often those that hear the depths of the gospel of Christ and even rejoice in it. Oftentimes they turn away because the sufferings. Listen, because of the sufferings that are required to win him. As it says very clearly in Philippians 1:29, it's not only given on behalf to believe on him, but it's given that we suffer, that due benevolence, if we're going on to suffer for his name. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that to suffer with Christ, that we reign with him. See, most do not endure the sound, complete, no error, fully grown doctrine. And God tells us very clearly right here in his word, it's because of their own lusts. They can't blame it on anybody else. It's because of our choices, our going after flesh. Now, we can think of these lusts, bigger barns, family, familiar, just downright lusts of the flesh in a sense that you can think of. But in this lust of the flesh, we're talking about selfishness in self-pleasure. Selfishness in self-ease. Self-ease is something that can be very self-defeating very quickly. And what that is, brothers and sisters, is not willing to endure. See, the Word of God tells us in Revelation, it tells us that the Word of God is sweet to the mouth, but it's bitter to the stomach. It is. And so sweetly, we have been encouraged through the years that it has to be great grace that will have us endure that bitterness, to endure that. But see, you're not going to endure if you don't see how light the affliction is compared to the glory that shall be revealed in you. It won't ever happen, you know what I'm saying, in our lives, that grace won't be apprehended unless we see how great his love is for us and how great that love and what it has for us, the place that he wants us to take with him. Praise God, the bride, the heavenly Jerusalem, descending, having the glory of God and her light. That place, that's the place he wants for you. That's the place he wants for us. Now, he makes it very clear, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. But if you deny the sufferings, I will deny you the right to reign. Yes, sure, we're heirs of God. All the children of God are heirs. But it says, and joint heirs, if so be that you suffer with me. Huh? Breaks my heart sometimes to see people. You can see them just kind of going away because it's going to be easier somewhere else or this or that. The enemy can make you feel awful comfortable letting go of a crown. My goodness, God help us. But see, brothers and sisters, the evidence of not willing to suffer with him, the Bible makes it very clear. We will swerve from the truth. We will turn our ear from the truth. when we're not willing to suffer together with Christ. And in that, what comes about is heaps of teachers. When you turn your ear from the Word of God. See, one pastor's not going to satisfy you. One teacher's not going to satisfy you. Because you got to itch an ear. You'll soon be as the silly women, hearing this one and that, going after the next exciting one that might just tickle my ear. Oh, we get a bunch of ear ticklers going into the Pepsi Center. I'm here to preach the Word. That's it. And you'll see those ones that ran so well when they turn, when they depart, when they swerve. And every time at that cut, it's because they deny the right to suffer. It's the truth. It's too hard. My past. Too much history. It's too hard to go to church with. Maybe there's one that's been picking at me like a turkey for years. Did God say I prepared a table before your enemies or not? I heard a sweet farmer for years tell me about diamonds cutting diamonds. Be still and know that I am God. Brothers and sisters, it's enduring hardness as a good soldier. They're battered, they're bruised, they're torn. Their joint sufferings together with Christ. That was a piece of carnage that was upon that cross that day. And there's going to be a partaking of that hurt if you're going to go on and be his wounded side. Amen? Know these things. See, the Word of God is true. And my heart aches that but the Word of God is true. I don't know how else to say it. And I've seen this play out with my precious beloved brother that I love so. The Word of God is true. It won't be any other way. His Word is true. And the multitude of church hopping. Think about the ones. They'll never settle down. It will be heaping to themselves. It will be groups going to hear this and groups going to hear that. And you do, you just shake your head. So, honey, what are you doing? Come home. And please don't try to pin this one on. It's not about Living Waters Tabernacle. It's about the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that is exact. And she is a rare find. Because she's a goodly pearl. And if God didn't tell us so sweetly how he seeks that out and searching for it, it must be pretty rare. Or it wouldn't be called a pearl so rare. Come on. Just read the Word and allow the Spirit to reveal it. Now, I've told people like that, things like this before, and I just say that hopping around and that heaping, it never ends unless you're going to yield to the truth. Then it'll stop. And praise be to God, there's evidence of that, even here tonight. Isn't it wonderful? See, that's the joy again. Now we go back to encouraging the grace of God. Thanks be to God. But people have said to me, brother, you're so narrow. Well, you better believe it. Because it's the Word of God. It's a narrow way. It squeezes you. It presses you. That's the narrow it's talking about. It's a mark for the prize. It's exact. It's the bullseye of bullseyes, brothers and sisters. If it's not Paul's gospel, we will never be finished, thoroughly furnished. We will be lacking. If it's not the whole counsel of God, there will be something lacking. Amen. It has to be all of it. All the ingredients are essential. The pattern into the midst of the throne cannot and will not be altered. There is but one way. And the Bible says to be filled with all the fullness of God. It's so incredible. You talk to people like that and say, well, there's no way that that could happen. Yes, it is. It's God's will that it would happen. It's God's purpose that this would be grown by grace and grace alone. Believing God. Hearing that message. Immersing by God's grace ourselves in Paul's gospel. Hearing those things. Remembering those things. Encouraging one another in those things. My goodness, how privileged we are. The songs we sing. The songs we sing. It's not just the mesmerizing, hypnotic, that kind of thing. I want God's best. And I'm not ashamed to preach. Wake up. Come out from among them. You can call me a nut. You can call me arrogant. You can call me anything you want. But I just don't want to be hearing that calling too late of a trump in the first rapture. They laughed. They mocked Paul. Yeah. Why do you think they turned away? Well, look what happened to you. Look at us. We've got a giant church. We're increased with goods. We have no need. I'm glad I'm looking at brothers and sisters alike, precious faith. We got great need. We are so needy. Oh, praise the Lord. But you see, brothers and sisters, only Paul's gospel can and will perfect the man of God and fully furnish him unto all good works. Even Colossians 1:21 tells us that it's Paul's gospel that completes the word. And you see, the little leaven doesn't just leaven a little bit of the lump. It leavens it all. It spoils the whole thing. Just as the Lord had placed upon my heart, son, this is my word that says glory from glory to glory. See, glory begats glory. You go to glory, you're going to go to another glory because you're looking to Him. But see, when you turn from the truth, when you turn from the truth, that sin will begat more sin. And we've been preaching this, especially as of late. You either grow or you recede. Yes, that's it. As Paul said to those Galatians, oh, ye foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? There's a stunting that happened, a sickness, a spell. It's like a Pied Piper kind of thing, isn't it? Turn their ear away from the truth, and oh, the fables begin. Know it. Know this, brothers and sisters. You feed on the gospel, you grow strong. You eat out of the garbage can, you're going to get sick. It's truth. I want to eat meat every meal. The true carnivore. The protein beyond diet. And see, but when all that comes from turning from the whole counsel of God again is that ear that's turned from the truth, and the fables will come. See, how do you think prosper and be in health? That nonsense came about. Itching ears. Itching ears. itching ears for anything else but truly the Word of God. You go on and on and on with all of the foolishness. The new one on the horizon. Oh, this guy's got something new he's talking about. I'll tell you what, when you hear that kind of stuff, oh my. Heard the other day somebody say, and I know it just made an ache in their heart, but, are you just afraid not to try a new church? I just thought, oh my goodness. If you only understood the foolishness that you're speaking. And it's the truth. I'll conclude it in this. Brothers and sisters, we are not stronger than the Word of God. Our willpower is not greater than the truth. When we turn from teaching and pastoring in the whole counsel of God, the result will be a shipwreck of faith. That's it. It's not my conclusion, it's the Word of God. The church. Do you remember those studies we did? It wasn't the churches, it's the church. And God has established that. And we can try to compromise and make a deal and try to pretend. We can even lend our ear to thinking we're hearing something. But he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And brothers and sisters, turning from that teaching of the whole counsel of God will result in finding yourself in an innumerable multitude. Finding myself in a place where I meet God, where he has to wipe a tear from my eye. Not for me. By the grace of God, not for me. I want to meet him. Hallelujah. You think the shout and the trump of God's going to sound? You haven't heard my scream yet when I see him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm so excited to see him. There won't be tears of any sorrow, let me tell you something. It'll just be pure, unadulterated joy. A joy unspeakable and full of glory. A joy by God's grace that when I see him, I'm going to be like him. That he gives me a body like unto his own glorious body. And it's a time that will never end. A journey into the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness. But that's only going to be by the truth, the whole counsel of God. It can't be any other way. And this is what Paul is telling Timothy. Preach the word. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time. I just thank you. Lord, help us to really receive the gravity of what you're bringing to us. That, Lord, we're at the time of your appearing. And this word is alive today. And praise God, this is your Spirit that's speaking to us. Just as the Spirit spoke through Paul, through that letter, as he penned that to Timothy. God, this is to us. Help us, Lord. We know that without you, we can't do a thing. That we have to be strengthened by your might. Thank you for that Holy Spirit, Lord God. Help us to pray fervently one for another. Help us to pray fervently for those that are being tossed to and fro at this time. Those that we haven't seen for some time. God, help us not to be ones that judge, but ones that love. But Lord, help us to be most of all ones that stand and withstand, and having done all to stand. And as Paul said, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love your appearing. God, grace us with that great grace. We know it's there. Encourage us in your love to apprehend it all. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.